Is there any room for moderates in today's political landscape? What is your reaction to the retirements of several state lawmakers, both Republican and Democrat, who say they are leaving in part because of the lack of bipartisan cooperation? How about the moderate Republicans who are being challenged in primaries by more conservative Republicans? We are going to be addressing all these questions in our big question segment this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, April 16th. Our conversation is prompted by the most recent retirements of two longtime Republicans in Wisconsin politics, just within the past few days. Republican Congressman Tom Petri of Fond du Lac, longtime moderate U.S. representative of Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District, announced his retirement shortly after conservative Republican State Senator Glenn Grothman announced he would challenge Petri in a primary. Also, State Senator Mike Ellis announced on Friday that he would not run for re-election. This was after he was videotaped by a conservative group talking about what would have been an illegal campaign financing plan that he said he was considering using in his race against a Democratic challenger in the fall. Questions still remain why a conservative group targeted Ellis. Was it because he didn't always toe the line with the Republican Party? We will welcome your questions and your reactions and your views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let me welcome our guest. Very happy to have back with us Bill Krause. He is a longtime Republican strategist, chair of Common Cause of Wisconsin's State Governing Board, and he is a columnist at FightingBob.com. Good morning.
Morning, Joy. Happy to be here with at this ungodly hour.
It is a very early hour, that's right. And for listeners who are not aware, I'm sure most are aware of your background, Bill, but you were an aide to Republican Governor Lee Dreyfus, and even in the Warren Knowles administration.
Yeah, I ran a couple of Warren Knowles campaigns, and I worked for a lot of Republicans over the years. The only place I never participated in a Democratic partisan campaign, although I helped a few judges who may not have been regarded as totally Republican.
All right. Yeah. Well, I want to get into some of the specifics right now, but first, let me ask you. What is the state, especially of the Republican Party? Is it moving to the right?
What has happened to the Republican Party and the Democratic Party were both eviscerated by the Watergate reforms, and it's taken a few decades for that to sink in that the parties really are not very powerful. The money got loose, which is what sustained the parties, which made them powerful. Odie Fase used to refer to the Republican Party taking money from the party instead of from donors, because the party was a kinder mistress. Well, the party doesn't have any money now. Nobody with big money gives money to the parties. They give it to candidates because they want an arm on it. They always wanted an arm on it. And the parties, as long as they controlled the money and the slating, had power. When that disappeared because of the excesses of the Republican Party in the 72 election, we went into a phase where candidates realized they were entrepreneurial now. They had to raise their own money, and it was out there. PACs became the main route. So they got loose. Then the leadership, once they got into the assembly with all these free-form candidates, found that their power had eroded, and they came back and created campaign organizations within the legislature. That led to the scandals late in the last century or early in this century of the deposed both Chuck Walla and Scott Jensen. But the power has definitely shifted to the legislative leaders. And that's not that's a big change and makes their job a lot more powerful because they now are slating and funding campaigns.
All right. So the legislative leaders in today's legislature are more conservative Republicans, and so they have the power, but it's not necessarily that the entire Republican Party is more conservative.
I don't think so, but the other factor that it weighs into this is redistricting, and it's happened for both parties. You go to Illinois, and the exact opposite situation must be going on, that the extremists now take over the party because the legislative floor sessions have become a sham. The decisions are made in the caucus. When the majority party has a majority of its caucus, then they feel free to take it. Then they get the whole caucus to go along, and they take it to the floor, and the vote is decided in advance. So you've got the legislative leaders, to make their job easier, don't want a lot of elections. They don't want to have to fund a lot of competitive elections. So the redistricting weighs into this quite heavily, and you have the extremists and the ideologues running the party. And that even Tommy fell into that trap of thinking that the moderates were no longer here. They're still here.
Tommy Thompson. Yeah. So that's what I was going to say next. You certainly know a lot of the insider baseball stuff here going on. But how much power do political moderates, especially Republican moderates, hold today?
They hold when you're in a minority, you don't have any power anyway. But in the majority. In Wisconsin, and I can't speak for every state, of course, the system plays to the base. The base will have the majority in the majority of the majority, which is in total a minority. But that is where the control is. And that is where the base has its great say, because if they... And you mentioned the attack on Mike Ellis. Mike Ellis is fractious. You never know where he's going to go. Right now he seems to he was subdued in this latest session, but he could break loose any time. And if he did, quite a few would break loose for him. So he's a problem for them. And whether this guy, what's his name, Christian Hartsock. I don't know where he came from, who he is, but he didn't just stumble across Mike Ellis in a bar.
This is a group that that secretly videotaped groups like Acorn, Planned Parenthood, NPR even, mm-hmm. to try to expose something about a liberal group, and then all of a sudden it's going after Mike Ellis, you know.
Yeah.
So... You don't have any insider information on who targeted the
I don't.
Ellis?
I'm surprised that it shows that the lack of staffing in the print press. So 40 years ago, everybody would be all over that guy. Who are you? Where did you come from? Why were you in that bar? How did you know to say that your parents ran a shoe store in Nina? He's a very suspicious character, but he scares the moderates straight. In effect, the jobs are important to them. They can do a lot of things, but they don't control anymore. The control has shifted to the extremists, and I think in both parties, and certainly in Illinois. Their current struggle is over the governorship, but the extremists have always been a problem in both parties. They're heavily ideological. They have an ideological answer to all the problems. They don't deal open-mindedly on new developments and new ideas, and they used to be marginalized. This incident of the in the Republican convention, where the secessionists decided that that the way to deal with all the problems is get out of the union. That group was alive in the 60s, but they were small. The worst job in a convention when the parties were powerful was to be the chairman of the resolutions committee, because they all hovered over that, drove you crazy.
Let me. I did want to ask you about that that resolution that would give Wisconsin the authority to secede should it need to, that will be taken up at the Republican convention. It's getting a lot of press these days. We'll talk about that after this quick break, and we'll continue to talk about some of these other retirements of state lawmakers who were considered moderate, and wondering if the party is swinging to the right, or whether there is any room left or any voice left for moderates. And we will welcome your thoughts, your questions for our guest, Bill Krause, who is a Republican strategist, chair of Common Cause in Wisconsin State Governing Board, and a columnist at FightingBob.com. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Should today's political environment include more moderates, or do you think moderates are too wishy-washy, a part of the problem? Do you consider yourself mainly in the center? Do you feel like your opinions are being well represented? Let us know. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is The Big Question on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In today's Big Question, we're wondering if you are concerned that moderates are resigning or maybe being forced out of Wisconsin politics, especially moderate Republicans. Does this concern you or not? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And we are talking about what's happening, why this is happening, and we'll talk about what can be done about it with Bill Krause, veteran Republican strategist. He's a columnist at FightingBob.com, and he's with Common Cause in Wisconsin as well. Patrick on Facebook writes, "It's ironic that the party that fought to preserve the union now includes a clause to allow for seceding the union in its platform." Well, not yet. They are supposed to vote. The Republican Party of Wisconsin is planning to vote for that that platform plank in its convention next month. There's also an article that was just released from Bill Leaders that talks about the say goodbye to the party of Lincoln, and it talks about what's happening in the Republican Party and this resolution, Bill Krause. What's going on? Why would the Republican Party want to put a secession platform into its plank?
Well, it's the ideologues who are fundamental. It's very hard to define, describe the character of the secessionists, if you will, or the anarchists. There's a great deal of anarchy in this Tea Party movement, except when you get to the social issue, and then the social issues, and then all of a sudden they want to be regulate personal behavior. So it's not a coherent philosophical group, but it has the power of I assume it is done to a Tim Petre and to a Mike Ellis. It just isn't worth it anymore to go in and fight that fight all the time with people who are totally unrelenting and will not deal with complicated problems because they have an answer to everything. I don't know if you've read the book Thinking Fast and Slow, but that but I'm not voting for anybody from now on who hasn't read that book, because that is the curse. We all have automatic responses to everything, and these problems are too complicated for that. And you need new ideas, and you need to listen to everybody. And the extremists and the ideologues don't listen. They have all the answers. And if you're in the minority, even of a majority, where are you? You're no place.
Well, do Democrats have this same issue going on? David Blaska, one of our Week in Review guests, also wrote a column that said the Dems will go after moderates or centrists in their party too if they're not towing the line.
Yep.
And he also says that it's usually the liberals who bemoan the lack of compromise among Republicans. He says that's just, vote my way, not your way.
Yep. So, and he's right. And I'm sure that's going on in Illinois, although I don't follow it closely. It went on here dealing with Chuck Quala. When he was in power, you had exactly the same situation. He was just as totalitarian and difficult. And that power that has devolved to that office makes what the parties say and do irrelevant, because there is where the power is. That's where you find, you recruit, slate, fund, and manage campaigns out of legislative leaders' office. So they have become sort of a super party. What they say goes. And I'm sure that neither Boss or Fitzgerald want this secession idea attached to them, because they're not. They're not radical people to that extent, and so that they will either make sure it doesn't come up in the convention, or will ignore it if it does.
Oh, all right. Well, see if that happens. Chris in Madison is with us. Hello, Chris.
Hi. Great show as usual. The thinking piece is what I really enjoy about Wisconsin Public Radio. And that is where I think the problem is that with our news cycle, with the news media, the way it operates on 15, 20-second sound bites. And so it pumps up moderate Republicans when they are criticizing the Republican Party, but handles moderate Democrats with kid gloves. And I mean, for instance, I haven't heard the national media report that this Fraser Glenn Cross ran as a Democrat in a gubernatorial race in North Carolina. Nobody's saying that, but if a Republican politician had gone wacko and done what he did, it would be plastered all over the news.
Well, actually, the money is a lot bigger problem than the media. One of the few bright spots in recent history in Wisconsin is the media moving on a subject that the leadership didn't want to have to handle. And by exposing that to a wider audience, all of a sudden it got active. So the media is your only hope for exposure. And exposure, it seems to me, is the only hope of discrediting the money. The money has become so important in politics that if the moderates are as much afraid of that as they are of the ideologues, maybe more. The Koch brothers getting involved in county elections in Iron County. The good thing the media does, they expose that, and then people begin to say, "Wait a minute." And what I think will turn the pendulum back to moderation and back to discussion and back to problem solving, is people saying, "Wait a minute, I don't count anymore. Nobody cares about giving my $100 or $50 or $5. The money is coming from somewhere else, and the idiot and the extremists have both the money and the leadership. Why should I even bother? So people are walking away from politics. So you got to get them interested again, outraged again. I think there's a lot of outrage over General Motors. There's a lot of outrage over what is happening on Wall Street. And those are the people who made the parties work.
We have just a minute before news, and I just want to give listeners a little bit of a tease. You told producer Bill Martins that you think that centrists will have their day in the sun again, or something along those lines. Yeah. You think that's the pendulum's going to swing back?
It always has, Joy, but it's a harder swing now. Until people realize that money and manipulation have taken their power away, and they won't decide they want it back. It isn't going to happen. But I like what happened on the cancer pill bill. I like what happened on the exposure of the Iron County thing. And I like what's happening in Illinois.
All right.
On the other side.
We'll check news, and then we'll continue talking with Bill Krause. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Is there any room for moderates in today's politics? That's today's big question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Bill Krause is with us, a veteran Republican strategist and chair of the Common Cause in Wisconsin's State Governing Board. He's also a columnist at FightingBob.com. We are talking with him about the state of Wisconsin politics today and the retirement of many lawmakers in recent weeks, including State Senator Mike Ellis. In his retirement statement, Ellis said that compromise is not valued in today's capital environment and that he doesn't fit in anymore. Fellow Senators Tim Cullen, Bob Jauch, and Dale Schultz have made similar comments about their pending retirements. So we are talking about why this is happening. Is compromise a dirty word in Wisconsin politics right now? And why is this happening and what can be done about it? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So what do you make of this, Bill? We have Ellis and Cullen and Jauch and Schultz among those who are retiring this year, and they all think that being bipartisan, compromising is just not allowable in politics today in Wisconsin. Is that true?
I think that's true, and we haven't seen it. If the Democrats get control, whether it'll be the same situation on that side, but I suspect it will be. Think back to the Pat Lucey. Is a Democratic governor after a long series of Republicans. He passed tax relief for businesses. Lee Dreyfus signed the first gay rights bill in the country as a Republican. They are thinking about problems and solutions to problems instead of what the party line is. They didn't have a party line. They had a bias towards one more, possibly more frugal, one possibly more liberal. But they were able to deal with situations openly and take all points of view. You can't do that anymore because you can't get onto the floor with an idea. You can talk, but by the time it hits the floor, it's decided. So the system is either broken or breaking. And the money exacerbates that. The money wants sure votes, and they're going to go to the extreme. They're not looking for widespread discussion on immigration reform. They're looking for to punish somebody who's for amnesty. So you've got those two huge factors, and then the advisors are giving it the advice that you cannot lose the base. Your success depends entirely on the base. Spend your money pleasing the base. So you're locked in by so many factors. And
yeah, and then if you do, though, speak out, you might speak out on the floor, but if you do that, or if you vote against what the majority of the Republicans in this case, if you vote against the party line, look at Senator Dale Schultz. He was challenged by a more conservative member of his party and decided not to run again. Yeah.
You know, this has happened before. I don't know if you've read the book about Taft and Teddy Roosevelt, and the key factor in them getting away from ideological positions and locked into it was the press, and it was a magazine, and it was called McClure's Magazine, and Ida Tarbell brought down Standard Oil. So we need that too. We've lost a lot of power of the press, and I think the biggest news gathering organization in the country is public broadcasting, and it's somewhat fragmented. But somebody in that field, and you guys are doing some interesting stuff. The exposure of the evangelical organizations on All Things Considered has been remarkable.
We have partnered with Wisconsin Watch Center for Investigative Journalism.
You got to have that factor in there too. If you break from the party line and say we should think about this and we should listen to this guy, all of a sudden the money disappears. There's no newspaper around to support you because there's no statewide paper anymore. And you're isolated. Like Dale Schultz was isolated. So he, for a moment there, he was a majority of one when he had the controlling vote. When, as soon as he lost that, he was isolated. Tim Cullen was elected, he said, to come up and talk to each other, compromise. And he said, I got up here and there was nobody to talk to. Mike Ellis is disparaged. Mike Ellis, who had more good ideas on governing Wisconsin than the entire Tea Party, is discarded because he's too raucous. Bob Jalkus, same way.
He also kind of threw a roadblock on the expansion of voucher schools statewide by saying local district should hold a referendum before that happens.
Yeah. And the fact that he's the only one who saw that the problem is not the schools, it's poverty.
Yeah. With poverty. He was kind of advocating a local control solution that was not acceptable.
Yep, yep. Yeah. But he was not following that it happened to be the Tea Party line or the voucher line. He's following the line that the Central Wisconsin constitutional requirement is education. That's why you have a state government.
Let me take a call from Daniel in Rice Lake. Hi, Daniel. You're on the air.
Hello. It is well known that the electorate who votes in the primaries is radicalized to both the right and to the left, both the Republicans and Democrats. How can we increase the participation of the center in the primaries and thereby increase the selection of more moderate candidates?
I think that's a great question.
That is a great question, and if I had the answer, I would be the king of the hill. But you've got to get the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, if they ever get in control, is you're always going to have that problem getting out of the primaries. And maybe the solution is in California, where instead of having a partisan primary, you have a popularity primary. And whoever is first and second in the primary, including those, if they can be from both in the same party, go into the finals. And they said it worked the first go-round, and if it works again, then I think we thought we had an open primary. That is really an open primary. And that may mitigate the pressure that the narrow extremists have in those low turnout elections. I have no idea how to get people. Bob Williams says to people who don't vote in primaries, "Well, thank you very much. You're giving me so much power because I've got leverage in a primary." But you can't get the general public to buy it. But maybe the California solution is the answer.
Yeah, and I will say though too that I vote in primaries in part because I'm not an extremist, but right. I vote in primaries because I'm aware of the issues at hand, and I'm following these news stories, and so I'm motivated to vote. Maybe it's in my DNA.
But the problem we have, Joy, we have nobody to vote for.
Yeah.
Our primaries, because of clustering and districting, we don't have a choice.
Well, because in Madison, you mean?
In Madison, yeah, in Portage County, mm-hmm. Milwaukee, Waukesha. Yeah. By districting the way we have, all of a sudden, the big choices are being made in primaries, and I don't have a choice in Madison, and you don't have a choice in Waukesha, for example.
Yeah, and we'll talk about redistricting in just a bit, but I would assume that maybe that's changing a little bit. Maybe not, but in terms of voter turnout in these in the primaries or the midterms or the non-presidential, I think at least anecdotally, I'm hearing more and more people saying, "Hey, these state elections matter. These they didn't vote before because they just voted for president or Congress. They didn't really vote for a local legislator."
Yeah. 10% of the elections to the Wisconsin legislature are contestable, are worth contesting. So 90% of us don't have a choice on the place where the choices are really getting made.
I'm going to take one more call before our break. Matt in Sparta. Hi, Matt.
Hi there. I have a quibble and then a question. I heard the guest say that, you know, the right does have the Koch brothers, which is true, but the left has George Soros and,
absolutely,
you know, Mayor Bloomberg. So it goes both ways. My question is, if the right is going away from the center, could it be in response to the increasing influence of the libertarian group in the Republican Party? Could that be some sort of reaction to them?
So that would be the Rand Paul faction. Yeah, he seems to me to be less radical than the more anarchistic members and more social media oriented members of the so-called Tea Party. But that group has always been around, and they've got a point of view that's worth listening to. And they're somewhat ideological, but I like Paul a lot better than I like some of the knee-jerk reactions we're getting from radicals.
We are talking about whether or not there's any room in politics for moderates, and we are welcoming your thoughts, your questions, and are you concerned that there are a number of moderates who are being squeezed out of today's political debates and elections, for that matter. A number of state lawmakers retiring, bemoaning that there's no room for compromise or bipartisanship in our legislature today. Mike Ellis, Dale Schultz, and others. Our guest is Bill Krause, a veteran Republican strategist and chair of Common Cause in Wisconsin's State Governing Board and a columnist at FightingBob.com. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking about Wisconsin politics with Bill Krause, talking about whether or not moderates are being squeezed out of today's political debates and whether the Republican Party is moving to the extreme right and what's happening and what can be done about all this. We have a number of callers. Let me take another caller, Steve in Chippewa Falls. Hello, Steve.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. You know, what I wonder is I read the paper, I listen to the radio, and I can't help but feel that there's a sort of very comfortable center. These folks who've sort of been running things for a long time, they have lunch out in Madison, they talk to each other, they like each other, and they're very, very comfortable, and they've grown used to each other. So when some new political reasoning comes along, whether they're offended, they're like, I've been running this for many years, I don't like this new thing, and I hear the Tea Party sort of insulted, and so many, I mean, they're every bad thing you can be. It's like, you know, they're this bad thing, that bad thing. And I'm not really a Tea Party guy, but I look at it, we were almost going to go to war last fall in Syria. And as close as I can tell, the Tea Party saved us. They kept us from going to war for the third big Middle East war. And I just get the feeling that there's this bought and paid for comfortable center who is just offended that anybody wants to move them off that centerpiece. And also, it just seems like it's time for a change. I mean, it's not like the guys that ran everything in the 60s and the 70s are going to run everything forever. The country is changing. The economy is changing. And it's time for change is good. This is what the Congress was designed to do, was represent the people, to change and have. It wasn't designed to be long-standing congressmen being there forever. You know?
All right.
Anyway, that's kind of where I'm at on this, and I'd love to hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Bill, the Tea Party just knocked the center off its pedestal and is doing things a new way for new times.
Yeah, in a sense, that's true. The problem with what's happened to the system is that a minority is in charge, and the minority is an extreme minority, either side. It can happen both ways. That there is no discussion, there is no honest debate in the legislature. Everything is decided privately in caucus under the direction of very powerful leaders, got most of the people who are in their caucus into power. And it kicks back on them, and you see things not happen. I felt very sorry for Boehner for quite a while. His caucus was his problem. He couldn't do anything. They were more powerful than he was, and they were more ideological than he was. In Wisconsin, the governor... was one of his admirable approaches to creating jobs was to bring some more capital to Wisconsin to create new businesses, which are always capital starved. And he couldn't get it past his own caucus, and it was a minority of the caucus. So that nobody got that idea to the floor. There was a bill. There were two bills up last year to. Take redistricting authority, map making away from the legislature, so they'd have more competitive races. Neither of them got a hearing. This is not the way democracy is supposed to work. You can't have people who hate each other. You can disagree, you can be adversaries, but to be enemies freezes the system into. Extremes on both sides. And so, as somebody mentioned before, if the Democrats were in charge, it's going to be they'll be just as bad, and I worry that they will if they get in charge. I don't. From what I saw when they were in charge, that was no kiss for Christmas either.
Kiss for Christmas. Don in La Crosse is with us now. Hi, Don. You're on the air.
Yes. Good morning. I just wanted to say that I think that Wisconsin should have a statewide referendum and stop taking outside money for state elections. I don't want Wisconsin to become a subsidiary of Koch Industries. I just feel if you have a state election, if you're going to contribute money to a state election, you should live in the state.
Yeah, will that do any good? And can that happen, Bill?
Well, it would. It's a great idea. The first campaign I ever participated in was 1952, and our fundraising rules was don't take more than $100 from anybody and take no money from outside the district because the cost of that money in votes would be prohibitive. The Supreme Court won't let you. The Supreme Court has decided that... institutions, organizations are people, and people have cannot be restricted in how they spend their money. So it's a wonderful idea. I wish it could be done, but not for three centuries. The Supreme Court says don't bother, because we're going to protect the right of people to spend their money on the politicians that they like. And I guess, you know, that isn't an entirely unreasonable idea.
A caller wants thinks that moderates will leave the Republican Party if they don't do something about the Tea Party. We just have a little bit of time left, so I'm presenting the question as to, do we need more than two parties? Maybe we need the Tea Party and the Center Party and this other party.
Well, I don't think so. I think the way the system is set up, it so favors two parties. There's never been a really significant third party movement, I guess, since fighting Bob, and that didn't go anywhere. It should be settled by within the parties, but the parties, I don't know whether you can revive the parties. The parties are not really powerful. They talk a lot and they get a lot of press, but they don't do anything. The thing that you've got to deal with now is the phenomenon of power, the power shift to the legislature and generally into the legislative leaders specifically.
Yeah, so in the final minute, Bill, fix this for us. Summarize what has to happen to make the center's voice heard again.
Well, I think the main thing has to happen is you start with the exposure. You expose things like the cancer pill bill. That's the kind of thing that will stir people up. Then you move to disclosure. If money comes in, make it clearly identifiable where it came from. And that will, number one, dry up some of the money and at least make sure people aren't confused as to where the sources of the message are coming from. You start exposure, disclosure, and then I think you'll get reaction and action. And the legislative people do not vote for things that their voters don't like. But you got to start with the press first, and then disclosure.
So we're talking a decade or so from now.
I'd like it to think it'd be my lifetime, but that's not very long.
Well, I hope it will be in your lifetime, Bill, and I hope that the next time we talk to you, I promised Ed Garvey that we were going to get both of you together again as a Week in Review pair, so I hope you'll be willing to do that in the near future.
It's always a pleasure.
Yeah. Bill Krause is a longtime Republican strategist, chair of Common Cause in Wisconsin State Governing Board, and is also a columnist at FightingBob.com. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Robin Cherry, and to Christy Taylor for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.